Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The circus is on the air. The president doesn't. Sometimes you feel like a... That means that it is not illegal. Sometimes you don't. Tear down this wall. Here's Jenny. Hey, Luke, may the force be with you. It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
All right, now I think we can do this. Good morning, Dave Schwann.
Yeah, this is history, all right.
This is history.
This is history.
All right, 1790, the first shoelaces were invented. Did you know that? By Harvey Kennedy. Before its invention, leather, cotton, and hemp were used for fastening shoes and sandals. You know how much he made over this patent in 1790? Think about this. 1790, while he was alive, what he made from the patent.
I have no idea.
$2.5 million.
Really?
Could you imagine what that would have been? Yes.
Oh.
Not a bad way to live.
You could retire.
I would think so. You could retire on that now.
Make shoelaces and retire.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Jeez.
1837, Grover Cleveland was born. He was the 22nd and 24th U.S. president. He was the only one to serve two non-consecutive.
That is correct.
And he was the only president to be what? Married in the White House.
Oh, married in the White House.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the only guy.
Huh.
We had
one president who was a lifelong bachelor.
Yeah, we talked about that. Who was that again?
James Buchanan.
James Buchanan.
The 15th president before Lincoln.
That's right.
He was a lifelong bachelor.
Interesting. Well, you know, and when you see all the pictures that they, of course, the fake news media posts about Trump.
Don't get personal here.
No. But there's pictures of, like, Melania just looking unhappy as heck. I keep thinking he's going to be divorced and remarried during with wife number four.
Like, yes, I guess Melania is the third. There,
exactly,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
1917, March 23rd, the new Chicago Motor Bus Company began operating the city's first commercial buses. They were double-decked with the tops open. Each bus had a conductor to collect the fare, and they were called chauffeurs. Who drove the bus?
That sounds like those buses that you see in the summer months around here, the tour buses.
Right.
You've got a guy on the top or a woman, you know, giving a tour of downtown. I see him on Michigan Avenue.
That's right.
All the time.
That's right. 1958, Elvis Presley joins the Army. Serial number 533-10761. It was a lot of when you saw back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. From World War II through the Korean War and the Vietnam War, you saw some of your favorite stars, musicians, join one of the armies or the Marines and so forth. And it was kind of difficult because those people disappeared from the public eye for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And there's a famous newsreel footage of Elvis getting his army haircut.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
He had that long, greased back, slicked back hair. And
that's right.
There's an army, regulation army doctor just.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Off. And you're right. They do disappear. A lot of people in show business served in Korea, World War II, served in various branches of the armed service.
And not just entertaining. Stewart. And not just, Jimmy Stewart.
Well,
and
he
wasn't
was
just
pilot.
Entertaining. He was a pilot.
He was a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. 1971, Cannon with William Conrad premieres on CBS television. Quinn Martin, which aired, it was March 1971 to March 76. The primary protagonist is a little quieter. Private Detective Frank Cannon played. What was it spun off of? Do you remember though?
Cannon?
Yeah.
It was a spinoff, but I do not remember what it was.
Barnaby Jones.
Barnaby Jones. Yep. Well, they were both Quinn Martin Productions.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Quinn Martin Production.
Quinn Martin Production.
1972, Bobby Hull becomes the second NHLer to score score 600 goals in his career. It was 1972, 600 goals in his career. And then I believe he left. Didn't he go to the World Hockey League or something like that? He left the NHL.
I think so.
In 1972.
I cannot say for sure,
yeah,
but I think that is correct, yes.
1981, Nightline premiered on ABC. It was 1979 that the Iran crisis, America held hostage, had a weekly news report and a daily news report that aired opposite The Tonight Show. That's how Nightline started, but it was called The Iran Crisis that ABC News ran every single night, and it proved to be one of the first shows that had some momentum in the ratings against Carson. And then it eventually became Nightline. Let's take a listen to that first episode.
This is ABC News Nightline. Reporting from Washington, Ted Koppel.
In the world of music videos, tonight's MTV Music Awards ceremony in New York is what the Emmys are to television and the Oscars are to movies. It is the music video industry honoring its own. For the record, no pun intended, Bruce Springsteen won the award for best stage performance, beating out Tina Turner and David Bowie. A number of the songs up for recognition tonight have been receiving a great deal of recognition in recent weeks, and not the most approving kind. Simply stated, a lot of people, and they are becoming increasingly vocal, find the songs and the rock video performances that go with them offensive. Even if your tolerance for explicit language is relatively high, you're quite likely to find them offensive also. Our dilemma in focusing on the subject was this. How explicit were we going to get? Well, we have left out some of the most offensive material, but what's been left in, if John Denver and Frank Sinatra are your speed, is still likely to curl your hair. But understand, these songs are routinely played on radio stations, and if you have cable, more likely than not, your kids have already seen and heard what some of you will see and hear for the first time tonight. Here's Nightline correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
We think this subject matter is totally inappropriate, and that's why we're making a fuss.
One group of parents has heard more than enough. The Parents Music Resource Center wants a labeling system for albums and tapes, much like movies are rated today. Later this month, a Senate committee will hold hearings on the question, a tribute to the clout of the center, whose members include Susan Baker, wife of Treasury Secretary James Baker.
At least the movie industry.
So that's the beginning of Nightline. I mean, you really think about what Nightline has been all about. I mean, this has been, first of all, it's Ted Koppel, who helmed it for so many years, and it's been moved now, so it's like at 11:30 instead of 10:30 when it aired. But it's a pretty important news program. I mean, there was really nothing else like it.
Nightline began as a nightly update to what they would refer to back then as the situation in Iran,
right,
when the Iranian embassy in Tehran was taken over, and we had our Americans held hostage there.
Yeah,
it became an update of the day's events,
right?
And it started really as just a special report, if you will.
That's right.
And it just kept going because the hostage crisis kept going.
Yeah.
And we had 3 weeks later, they released the women that were involved in the hostage, the taking, the women that were held there. I had an interview with one of them who had family in Calumet City here in the south suburbs, and she came home to stay with them. And I interviewed her just after she arrived home. And we thought that was more or less the end of it at the time, but it certainly wasn't, because it went on for over a year, ending on Inauguration Day for Ronald Reagan.
I remember that.
But by that time, ABC News had a very successful program called Nightline, and that wasn't going anywhere.
And kind of Ronald Reagan ended up getting kind of the credit for that.
I guess in a roundabout way, he did.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did.
So, yeah, interesting scenario. You're right, Dave, about Nightline.
Backing up to Bobby Hull, 815, the WHL was looking for a star there for their hockey league, for the new hockey league, and they approached Bobby Hull, and they offered him $1 million a year because he was looking for extra money from the Hawks, and they couldn't afford it,
mm-hmm.
what he was looking for. Mm-hmm. He was the first $1 million contract in hockey, and they named the team after him, and it was the Winnipeg Jets, is what that was all about. So there's a little update. Thank you for that. 1989, one of the largest oil spills in U.S. history occurred as the oil tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground in Prince William Sound off Alaska, resulting in 11 million gallons of oil leaking into the natural habitat over a stretch of 45 miles. Let's take a listen.
It's already the largest oil spill in U.S. history. The tanker Exxon Valdez, gouged by a reef, more than 8.5 million gallons, poured into Prince William Sound, a prime fishing and recreation area. A five-mile-long oil slick is moving out to sea. Exxon is flying in three plane loads of cleanup crews from around the world to help contain the spill. The Coast Guard says the 987-foot Exxon Valdez was in an area off-limits to tankers when it hit a chartered reef, rupturing several cargo tanks. The supertanker, bound for Long Beach, California, ran aground about 22 miles south of Valdez early Friday morning after loading a cargo of 1.25 million barrels from the Alaska pipeline. Oil poured into the sound at the rate of 20,000 gallons an hour for 12 hours. Exxon acknowledges that the Valdez detoured into treacherous waters. The Coast Guard says the captain was trying to avoid large chunks of ice known as growlers that come from the nearby Columbia Glacier. The spill closed the port of Valdez, which pumps 2 million barrels a day, one-fourth of America's domestic crude output.
11 million gallons of oil leaking into the natural habitat over a stretch of 45 miles. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. And you know, Dave, you're playing things that I remember from my youth. I guess I am history.
Yeah. Yes, you are history. You absolutely are. You absolutely are. Here, let me get me sure that's shut off. Okay, there we go. 2003, the United States launched an attack against Iraq to topple dictator Saddam Hussein. Of course, that was post 9/11. The attack commenced with aerial strikes against military sites, followed by the next day of an invasion of southern Iraq by U.S. and British ground troops. The troops made rapid progress northward and conquered the country's capital, Baghdad, just 21 days later, ending the rule of Saddam Hussein. Let's take a listen.